Welcome to Nova's Here. My name is Greg Horn, and excited to have one of my first guests that we had as we celebrated our second anniversary yesterday. One of my first guests was Sherry Matherly, and Sherry has an unbelievable, just powerful story. She was in a very verbally abusive marriage to an alcoholic husband, finally got the courage to leave after her daughter said, I'm going. If you want to go with me, it's great. You can stay, but I'm leaving. So she decided to leave also from a very, very unhealthy situation in the marriage. And unfortunately, one day when she went back to get the mail, her soon-to-be ex-husband shot her in the head close range. And it was a miracle from God that she lived. In fact, the surgeon came out and told her son, Tony, and her daughter, Dee, who's also been a guest on Hope Is Here, that, hey, we've done all we can do at this point. All I know to do is tell you to pray. But as we know, prayer changes things, and a miracle from God after a lot of surgeries, a lot of rehab. Sherry lived, and she and I became acquainted. That happened back in August of 2003, and she came to Northeast Christian Church. I was asked to pray for her in 2003, about a year and a half later, and we got to know each other very well and have a good friendship. And she is a faithful listener to Hope Is Here. And we had her on for five programs. Most people only get three, but Sherry got five because she has a powerful story to hear. But the reason I wanted to bring her back on is as we celebrate our second anniversary here on Hope Is Here, our second birthday yesterday, is because Sherry's a faithful listener to Hope Is Here. And Sherry, after you listen to your programs, and I know it's awkward to me, I still listen to all of ours because I need to get better, and it's kind of hard to listen to yourself the first time, isn't it?
It is very hard to listen to myself. It's kind of, it's all surreal. I don't understand how to say that. It is hard to listen to yourself tell your story on radio.
But you did do that, and I was proud of you, and I kind of challenged you to do that because, you know, just like me, it was painful for me the first few times and still is a little awkward, but it was so powerful. You did such a good job. God really showed up. But here was one of the amazing things you shared with me after listening to those five programs, that you started to weep. And that God started doing some stuff in your heart from listening to your own programs. Can you share with our listeners about that?
I don't think I ever really processed what happened till I started listening, till I heard myself tell the story. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's just, it's hard to believe that really happened. Did that really happen? No, I know it really happened. But it just brought me to, I read a quote the other day, said, what if the worst thing that ever happened to you turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to you? And so when I got shot in the head, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me, but absolutely turned out to be the very best thing that happened to me. Because it brought me to God, to know God, and it brought me to find healing, which I've been finding healing since I've been on your show.
Well, Sherry will be 71.
I'll be 71 in December.
December 31st. And so I wanted to come on because I know there's people listening, and we have all age ranges from teenagers to people in their 80s and 90s. And that's one of the things I love about Hope Is Here. We try to make a program and share hope to people no matter what season of life you're in. But here's Sherry saying, hey, you know, I need to deal with some wounds. And obviously, when you go through something as traumatic as being shot close range in the head, she's not able to drive anymore, but she hasn't let that steal her joy, and she continues to grow in her relationship with Jesus and listens to programs such as Hope Is Here and podcast and reads a lot. And I know that there's people listening. What would you say to those people that maybe they've had something major happen to them, and, you know, just like what you've had to do, Sherry, you just had to kind of, quote unquote, suck it up and just press forward and try to survive. But now, 16 years later, you finally were forced to kind of listen to what actually happened to you and start to deal with that wound. It's never too late for God to heal a wound in your heart, is it?
No, it's not. And the Bible says that even to their old age, they will still be fruitful and bear fruit. And so I'm thinking, okay, that's me, God. I'm getting old. Here I go. But I was never too old. And you have to deal with that grief. It's, the more you carry it around, if you don't share it, it just it just gets deeper and deeper and faster, and it's just crazy. I'm finding now that I'm getting freer. I'm feeling better all the time about myself. I'm healing about different things. And I went to this one grief counselor, and she said that the healing and telling your story brings the healing. When you share your story, it brings the healing. And Revelation says they overcame by the power of the blood and the word of their testimony. So I had read in my Bible 100 times to tell my story. But there's this thing, John 10:10, the devil tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And I say sometimes he didn't kill me, but now he's trying to keep me from sharing my story, kind of just saying back, whatever. But sometimes I hate to tell my story because I don't want people to feel sorry for me. You know, people say, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Well, I am too. But it's not my story, it's God's story. Because if it wasn't for God, I would not be here. God did the whole thing. I was writing in my journal a while ago that that day my husband said, pulled out a gun and said, you picked a fine day to die. Then Psalms 139 says, God has ordained every day of your life. Mm-hmm. So I have written in my Bible that verse, Stan said, you picked a fine day. But God said, no, she didn't. I know the day she has.
Mm. Amen. Well, that is so powerful when you share that. And yet, I think it's so amazing. I want to go back to the quote you shared earlier. You said, you know, what the worst thing has happened to you could also be the best thing that's happened to you. And when you shared that with me a few weeks ago, I mean, it just made me catch my breath because I know what you've been through, as we have a close friendship, and to know that, you know, being shot close range in the head, and how you almost lost your life, and, you know, still have some health challenges occasionally, yet, as you said, what became the worst has become the best because your relationship with God would never be where it's at without that happening. Is that fair to say?
No, it would not. I was raised in church. We went to church every time the church doors were open. But that's as far as it went. Had to be there, but I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew that there was this God thing in heaven, and there's these 10 commandments. You had to keep those, or else you were going to hell. So, and my father was really super strict. I know he loved me, but he was strict on me hard. And I got spanked all the time for being bad. What he said was bad. And so I equated God with my father. So I didn't really have that relationship. Didn't know anything. I was scared of God, kind of, sort of. And but after this happened, and growing up, for some reason, I don't know when, where, why, or how, I learned Psalm 23. And that has been that's been my life verse forever. And I say it mostly for verse 4. So though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you with me. I had no clue what that meant. None whatsoever. But I would say it when I'd get scared or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever was my, I'd say that over and over. But getting shot brought me, as soon as I came home, I knew I had to go back to church. I didn't know why. I knew I had to go. It was just because I was raised in church. It's where you went to church. But I got involved. One of my good friends I worked with, him and his wife, swooped me up and took care of me and introduced me to you and got me involved with singles and everything and got me involved in Bible studies. And I just learned that church is so much different than just going to church and just sitting there listening. So I learned a whole lot from all that. And I've lost my train of thought.
Well, I think the thing that you learned you could have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Exactly.
You just saw the church building, you know, you sang the songs and maybe had some scripture. And yet I think it's a blessing because you still, that 23rd Psalm, even though you were just kind of learning it, saying it to say it, you actually, you know, God's word has said it will not return void.
Exactly.
And in your time of need, when you were fighting for your life, when you were walking through the valley of the shadow of the death, man, that verse stood true. It was your promise, wasn't it?
It sure was, because at night I'd go to bed because I knew he was going to kill me anytime. And I was afraid he'd kill me in the night. And when I'd go to bed at night, I'd just say that over and over and over until I went to sleep. It just gave me, and I had no idea whether God even knew me, liked me, or whatever, because I had been running so wild all my life and didn't really know him and doing my own thing. And I don't know if God even liked me, if he even knew me. But just saying that over and over just made me feel, gave me comfort, gave me peace. I woke up every morning, so he's faithful. Another verse I've learned since this says that when we are faithless, God is faithful. Mm. And he showed me that big time, that I was faithful. I didn't really know anything, but he's been so faithful to me all through my whole life, everything, especially through all this.
Well, I've had a front row seat to see over the past 16 years, and it has been amazing to watch God work. And you talked about you worked at Toyota, had a good job when this happened, and one of your coworkers, Lowell Cheatham, and his wife Jill invited you to come. And never, ever underestimate the power of an invitation. You know, Sherry's life, and we all get to a point in our life. I say it's the old, you know, sometimes we have one knee down, but then eventually life sometimes gets so hard we have to put the other knee down and totally surrender. And that invitation could come just at the right time. And for you, Lo and Jill Cheatham's invitation, man, that was a game changer for you, wasn't it?
It definitely was, because when they introduced me to you, it just so happened to be the week or two before y'all were going on your singles retreat. You invited me to your class, so I went. And so you invited me to the singles retreat, which was way out of my comfort zone, going somewhere with somebody I didn't know from Adam, and didn't know anybody, but I went. And Joe Donaldson, that
led the retreat.
Doing
staff.
John 15, that just changed my whole world. I mean, just helped me. I think that's when I told you that day that God put me where I need to be, because I just kind of told you, because I've been shot in the head. I just auto told you that. But just doing that, and this, I just kept on going to your classes and stuff, but just.
You kept showing up, and that's what I think. That's what I want to say to somebody. I mean, Sherry went. Somebody's listening today, and like, yeah, man. I mean, you know, she was 60, early 60s when she, you know, and to go into a class by herself, not knowing anybody, but she took my invitation and she showed up faithfully and started becoming one of our servant leaders in the group. And we hosted Bible studies at people's houses, and she would cook and help prepare for that, and would be a great host for that. And so, step out in faith, show up at church this Sunday, get re-engaged, because it definitely helped change Sherry. She went on the retreat with us and 50 other people up to Southeast Christian's Country Lake Retreat Center right across the river in southern Indiana. And it was a game changer for her. John chapter 15. I want you in our next program. We're going to have Sherry for one more program. But John chapter 15, she talks about a little man in John chapter 15. Or it's actually John's chapter 5. I stand correct on that. John chapter 5 and 15. I got that backwards. But she's going to share about that. And then she's also going to share tomorrow's program about how a guest that we had on our program winded up really speaking to her about a wound in her life that she had never really addressed. And we all have them. And that's one of the things I want to have Sherry on today as we celebrate the second anniversary this week of Hope is Here, because she is continue to get healing in her life, and you can too. And God used not only the program she listened to on when she was one of our first guests 2 years ago, but also through a guest we had in year two that brought healing to her heart, and the ripple effect that it's going to help to provide healing and hope in other people's hearts. So I hope you'll invite a friend to join us as we're going to continue our conversation tomorrow with Sherry Matherly on Hope is Here.
If you've been blessed by Hope is Here Ministries this year, would you consider making a year-end donation? To make a donation, go to their website, hopeishere.today, where you can make a secure online donation. Or if you prefer to write a check, the mailing address is also listed on the website. Please make your check to Hope is Here Ministries and mail by December 31st. All your donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today. Thank you for listening, and happy holidays.